Okay, so the date is October 20th. It's 11:03 a.m. I'm here with Jimena, and we are going to talk about our experiences dealing with COVID-19 as students. So I want to get some general information from you, your name, where you're from, what major you're pursuing, and how you got to St. Mary's.
I'm Jimena Barbajelata. I'm originally from Lima, Peru. I'm a marketing major. I'm a junior at St. Mary's. And how I got to St. Mary's, I went to Marianist High School here in Peru. And St. Mary's came offering scholarships, so I applied to one of those scholarships. And after, a process, I got the scholarship. So now I'm at St. Mary's.
Oh, nice. How long have you been studying here? Is this your third year?
Yeah, I'm a junior.
Cool. So what was your situation like last March 2020? Like kind of before everything kind of broke loose and went downhill a little bit in San Antonio. What currently or at the time, where were you at as a student?
When everything happened, I was in McAllen, Texas. I was with my roommate for spring break. And yeah, it was surprising for both of us because we were supposed to stay only 1 week there. But then they extended the spring break for 2 weeks. So it was surprising at first. And that's when I was like, well, I feel like this is a serious thing.
So did you stay when you came back to San Antonio? What were your plans really, or what was going through your mind like about your family back home and in the situation here? Like, how were you feeling?
We received an email saying that they were going to extend for 1 more week the spring break, and I believe in that same email they said after the end of the spring break everything was going to be online, but some students were allowed to stay, so I was going to stay until the end of the semester, like May. But then the probably 2 days after they said well, no one can stay unless you have a pretty good reason. And then I mean I thought I you know like I applied to a situation because I was an international student and I didn't have anywhere else to go. But my parents at some point were like, okay, but what are you gonna do? Like, you're gonna be basically by yourself in the university. So we don't want you to get sad or get depressed or get anything, if you're alone over there. So yeah, that was our thoughts. Like, my parents and mine were like, we were concerned about my mental health, and apart from that being alone, what happened if I was infected with COVID, that was the situation.
Did you feel unsafe at all on campus? Like this looming idea of like, oh, like is there COVID on campus? I don't know, because there was a lot of unknown really in the city.
At that time, not really, because it wasn't like that big of a thing yet. And especially I wasn't that worried because not a lot of people were gonna stay, because I feel like only like 20 people who stayed on campus, that were actually really needing to stay. So at a time I wasn't concerned about that much. But I was more concerned about my mental health, like just being by myself. Everything was closed. That was the main concern for both me and my parents.
Everything was closed. Like what?
Well, I mean, there were restrictions, I guess.
Oh.
The cafeteria, they took some stations out. I think they spread the chairs, the tables, so. Everything was super weird.
Yeah. I bet. Yeah. Were you able to at least leave campus at any point? Like just to get out or at least leave?
Actually, Actually, I did. Thank God I have some friends that let me stay at their house in Fulshear, Texas, in the Houston area. And also that's something I'm really grateful for. Because they actually let me stay longer than expected because they also canceled my flight in May because everything just like spiked and it was really bad. So they let me stay there till probably July. So yeah, I actually got to leave like 2 days after or 3 days after I got back from McAllen.
Okay. So where were you planning to fly to? Were you flying home?
Yeah, so I mean, I was planning, you know, if COVID didn't happen, like I was supposed to fly back to Peru just for the holidays, you know, for that for summer break. Like normal time, like May till August, but they canceled my flight too in May, so I wasn't able to leave, and then they closed the borders in Peru, so no one could go out and could come in, so it was all a mess.
Have you been back since, or have you just stayed here?
Yeah, actually, I'm back. I'm in Peru right now.
Oh.
And yeah. Yeah, so I actually got to come back in July, as I was telling you, because the Peruvian government was offering charter flights, so I actually signed up for one, and that's how I came back. Because that was also a concern of my parents, you know, like once we received the notification that we could stay on campus, you know, my parents were concerned, like, okay, but now, you know, like COVID is such a big thing. What if you get infected? Like, you know, like, and they were like, you know, we know you're gonna be with your friends, so there was a concern of theirs. Like, what if I got infected? I was gonna be there by myself. And at least here in Peru, I can be with my parents if I get, you know, like COVID or anything. And here I have an insurance and everything that covers even more than my student insurance covers in the US.
Oh, nice. How did you feel flying back in terms of your safety? Like, how was that experience being in a plane?
It was weird. I'm not gonna lie, it was weird. But at the same time, I was impressed because the airport, you know, I left from Houston, and the airport was pretty empty. So there were not a lot of people. And in the domestic flight, it was pretty much empty as well. Probably like, I don't know, 30 people in the plane. But it was just weird. I mean, we had to have our mask on all the time in the flight. Everything was packaged, the food, water. And then it was really weird when I had to fly in the, you know, in the international flight because it was full. It was like extremely full. And it was weird just to like sit next to people, like we were really close, and I was like, oh my gosh, what if one of us have it, you know, like what if one of us has it and like we all are infected. So it was just a weird experience.
So you had to take two flights, like a domestic flight somewhere, and then
yeah
to.
yeah so I had to fly from Houston to Washington, DC, and then to DC to Panama, and then Peru.
Interesting, huh? I was thinking
Yeah.
Florida because it's closer, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, so they were offering, you know, like I thought the same because they were offering pretty much like frequent flights, and some of them would leave from Florida, some of them would leave from Houston, and but this one left from Washington, DC. So I don't know. I just went because I wanted to leave. So.
Right. Did you, when you landed in Peru, did you quarantine?
Yeah, it is mandatory. So the Peruvian government, I don't know if they're doing that right now. You know, like October, but in July they did that. Like we got off the plane. They put us in like a tent, under a tent, and they would take our temperature, like check our legal paperwork. Then after that, they would take us to a hotel in town and make us quarantine there for So I've heard people saying, yeah, that they had to stay, but because some of my friends also came back that studied St. Mary's, also came back, and some of them said, yeah, I had to stay 1 week. Others said I had to stay 2 weeks. And some of my other friends told me, well, yeah, they took a test, you know, and if you were negative, you could leave. And that's what happened to me. I took a test, and then it was negative. So I got to leave in 5 days or 4 days. So I wasn't that long.
Well, cool. Interesting how different it is there than it is here. Well, that's nice, though, that they're taking those precautions for you. And you're able to go home. How has virtual learning been? Like, what is the time difference like in Peru than it is here? Or is there?
Well, thank God it's the same. But I feel like at some point in November it changes. It's so San Antonio goes 1 hour behind. It's not like that bad. So
nice. So the classes that you're taking right now, are they all fully online, or are some of them doing that thing where it's like some people can come in or some people can choose to be online, or how have you had to adapt to that?
Well, all of them are online. I'm lucky that all of them are online, because I've heard some complaints, you know, coming from my friends saying, yeah, when it's in-person virtual, it's like the professor, when you're online, they're not even paying attention to you. So at least that's not my case. Mm-hmm. Everything is online for me, so I log in on regular time, like real time. And I mean, it's been, I feel like I already got used to it, because, you know, they switch everything online in the spring. So it's been weird for sure, like not having, you know, like that interaction with other people. But I think you just learn to deal with it. You just cope with it. And like academic wise, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. I don't know, maybe it's just like a personal thing, because I have, you know, my own time to study here. I have my own place to study here. At least I have interaction here with my parents too, and they help me sometimes. So I feel like for me, it's not like, you know, like the best possible way that I would like to learn, but I mean, it hasn't been like as bad as for other people having experienced that version, like that class, you know, like that switch.
How do you think it's changed since after spring break, the extended spring break? I think the university was trying to figure things out still. Do you think it has gotten better, the virtual learning?
Yeah, I mean, I assume like the university was trying to figure out some, you know, like some measures, you know, like safety, health measures to, you know, like to protect the students that were going to stay at a time. So I kind of understood why they extended it. And also, what was the other question? Sorry.
Do you think the quality of learning online has gotten better or different in any way than it was at first last semester?
I'm just going to speak for myself, because I know like other majors could, you know, like think otherwise. But in my case, since I'm a marketing major, I don't have that much of, you know, like, for example, labs or like physical, you know, like job to do. So in my case, my professors have been pretty pretty good at, you know, adapting everything to virtual. But for example, in some classes that I have, for example, I was talking to you, like I was in marketing for services, you know, just my professor was like, well, guys, I wish we could, you know, like go out and experience, you know, for example, a restaurant service, you know. But this time we have to do everything online, you know, like experience the service online. But I feel like in my case, it's been like an eye-opening experience, just to realize how other, you know, like I'm just talking major-wise now, you know, like how other businesses can also adapt, you know, and you can learn that and adapt in your future career, you know, like if you want to open a business, you know, like how, you know, like which measurements you have to take if anything like this happens. So for me, it's been eye-opening. actually. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I'm surprised I'm even getting better grades now.
Have you been keeping up with any of the emails that the Office of the President has been sending, like through St. Mary's?
Yeah, you mean like regarding the COVID situation, like the cases?
Yeah.
I recently, like this morning, I got one. And I mean, I feel like St. Mary's, it reflects like, I feel like the good job that St. Mary's is doing on campus to keep everyone safe. Because it's only 3 cases on campus. I mean, reported, but 3 cases and they're 0 active. So I'm pretty sure like they're already good. They feel good. They feel better. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that only shows that St. Mary's, it's taking the you know, like the health advice that the CDC offers. I would like to think that also the students are, you know, like starting to be aware that this is a real thing and that actually can affect everyone.
I've been to the campus a few times and there's nobody there during the week. Were you ever involved on campus, like throughout, like before all of this? Were you ever in any clubs or anything?
Yeah, I'm actually part of the Marianist Leadership Program, MLP. So that was definitely such a big change.
Right.
For example, something that we really changed was CTH, Continuing the Heritage, the service day.
Mm-hmm.
And we, I mean, like on a normal day without COVID, we would gather, you know, like on a Saturday morning, and divide groups to go out and do, you know, a service to different places in San Antonio. But of course we couldn't do that this year. So we had to do, you know, like the Office of Community Engagement, the one in charge of CTH, had to switch completely to virtual. And they did a CTH teach-in version. So it was more like educational sessions and then followed by different reflection questions and reflection activities. And the same with MLP, we always have our fall and spring retreat and we go to Teca Boca. But of course, again, this year we couldn't do that, especially because some people were not even on campus, some people were not even in the country like me. And everything had to be online, and we had to like do several activities just online.
So are you still like meeting with them online, like still trying to be participating in any way?
Yeah, all the meetings that we have are online.
How have the organizations adapted the services, or have they? Are they just like done? No, not done, but they're just stopping doing community service activities, or what are they doing now? Like, what are they up to?
As of right now, MLP is not requiring, you know, because as MLP students, we have an amount of, you know, like an amount of hours that we have to complete, service hours that we have to complete a week. But as of right now, MLP is not requiring, you know, these service hours because of this, like, you know, situation, and we don't want to put anyone at risk of going out. But if people actually want to go out and do service, it's okay, but it's not a requirement for MLP. And also there are a few sites that are offering, you know, like virtual services, because most of them is just like go out and paint this, or go out and just hang out with, for example, the Marianist Brothers, or go out and help the elderly, or read to kids. So it has to do with interaction with people. So some services are not letting, you know, anyone get that contact, you know, like in-person contact. Mm-hmm. But instead, we're working on social justice modules, which is like kind of the replacement for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, nice. Have you been keeping up with the news, the United States news, or any changes in San Antonio in regards to the number of cases or just the situation in general here?
Not really, but and I think I should actually, because, you know, like I'm planning to go back, so I think I definitely should. But I mean, the most that I've done is just ask my friends, hey, so how's the situation doing? I know they're not like, you know, an official source, but I feel like at least I can get some information from their point of view, you know, on how the situation is going.
How have they described the situation to you?
Well, they told me it's pretty bad still. You know, like cases are not really going down as much as they would expect, especially at that time in the year, at this time in the year. But I mean, people are just, you know, like continuing their lives. Like apparently, like COVID is not like a thing for them anymore. And they tell me, yeah, some people wear masks, some people don't. So it's just. It's just weird. That's basically the only thing that they told me. It's just weird. I just want to go back to normal. But yeah.
In Lima, is there like a mandatory mask order, or how are the regulations different in Lima than they are here in San Antonio?
Basically when you go out, you have to wear a mask. So even if you're just walking down the street, something that it's really different from Peru in general and the U.S. I've noticed that in the U.S. people drive a lot and they don't walk as much, but in Peru, like, people walk everywhere, like because it's not that common, you know, like cars are not that affordable for the economy, you know, for like a regular person in the economy that it is in the U.S. But since a lot of people walk everywhere, they tend to be closer to each other, so that's why we are required to wear masks everywhere. Like even if you step out of your house, you need to have your mask on. When you're at the mall, when you're in a play, you know, in like store, you have to wear your mask. And when you are in the public transportation, you have to wear your, apart from your mask, you have to wear your face shield. So if you are not wearing that shield, you cannot like go in the bus. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel more safe being at home in terms of the possibility of getting affected than you would in San Antonio?
In a sense I do, especially because telling you previously, here I have my insurance, and this insurance covers, if I get infected by COVID, this insurance covers like 100% for it. So, and I would have the opportunity to go to a clinic and not like a public hospital, you know, so that's maybe like an advantage that I have here in Peru that I wouldn't in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. So in that way, I feel more safe, especially my parents, you know, like they're the ones who are going to take care of me like 24/7. I feel better here, you know, like COVID wise, you know, like I feel more safe.
So how open, I guess, is Lima now? Things are reopening like across the world. And is it like the same? You talked about malls, and malls are open here too, and restaurants are open, and gyms, I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, for example, supermarkets, like grocery stores were always open. I'm not that aware on how, or the process that they follow, you know, opening things, because I, at the time I wasn't here in Peru, but I believe then they started with, you know, like small markets. Then I think some restaurants are open now. Then they started doing, what else? Well, malls were open because usually the grocery stores are in the mall. And right now they want to open bars and some gyms, because gyms are still closed. Mm-hmm. But something that is not opening yet are movies, you know, like movie theaters. So they're still closed. But it's just a process of opening up, you know, like there are some things that are not open here in Peru. There are in the US, as you were saying, like, for example, gyms. Gyms are not open here yet.
Mm-hmm. What about schools? Like, for elementary schools,
I forgot about that. All schools, universities are fully online. Like they're not doing anything.
That's different.
Person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know some people, some high schools in the US are doing in-person classes.
Do you know if any sports were kind of going on during this time, the way that right now baseball is going on, basketball just finished? I know that soccer was going on, and I don't know if Lima or Peru participated in that.
So you know, like we have soccer leagues, but I feel like the only league, you know, like that it's going on right now is soccer. You know, like the Peruvian soccer league, and also recently we had you know, like, oh my gosh, what is this called? Like the, you know, like the qualifiers, the national teams just playing for the World Cup, the Soccer World Cup. So we recently had those, but it's like just the actual game. It's not like it's without people. Like the stadiums are empty.
Mm-hmm. For in baseball recently, it's the end of it. Like they're gonna determine who's gonna win the whole thing, right? They started allowing people back in, and so that makes me a little bit nervous. But that's another difference between Peru and here in the United States. You said that you're planning on returning to San Antonio. How exactly did you make that decision to return? Because that's a little risky.
I know it's a little risky. First of all, it was because I wanted to do an internship over the summer, so I need to be there in the U.S. So that's kind of why I wanted to go back as well. But apart from that, I feel like I'm also, so for example, I have some jobs on campus, like coordinator of social events with UPC. So sometimes that requires me to be in the office, even though we adapted to be only, you know, like online office hours. Wait, I'm just going to wait till the plane like passes.
Okay. It's okay.
Yeah. And so sometimes I feel like I need to be in the office sometimes, you know, like in the actual office to help out with some stuff. And at some point it's easier to organize events when you're on campus because you can just like direct people, oh yeah, just call me at that time and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, the internship that I was planning to apply to was the first thing that made me, you know, like say, okay, I want to go back to the US.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Oh, and I was trying to, you know, like regular time, probably January, but I mean, the borders in Peru are still close to the US.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, Peruvians can go to certain countries in South America, but not the US yet. So I'm just waiting for that I'm just waiting for the US government to say, okay, you can go to the US. So
interesting. Have, throughout all of this, have you ever been like affected by COVID in any way, like with your family, or do you know any friends on campus that have contracted it or have had parents or family who has?
Not that I know, because you know usually COVID can be asymptomatic as well, but I mean like my mom took it, you know, took a test and she tested negative. My dad usually at his you know at the workplace he frequently you know like tests for COVID and it's negative.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't taken any test apart from the one that I took at the hotel that mm-hmm. it was negative. So I mean, I want to assume we're fine. But then with my friends, I haven't heard anything, you know, like getting, you know, like testing positive from them. So I feel like at least my environment is pretty safe. We try to keep everyone safe in my family, so we don't go out as much, or we don't, you know, like gather in, you know, we don't like organize family gatherings. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's hard.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I think those are really all the questions that I had for us. Thank you so much for sharing and talking to me. I think you gave really good insight on how it's different from where you're at versus where we're at here.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for your service on campus before it got really bad. But that's awesome that you're still trying to continue that in some way.
Yeah, sometimes it's different too. It's a little difficult, especially, for example, with events that I was telling you, like now I have to organize everything online, you know, like the events have to be virtual. And sometimes I feel bad because, you know, like we have to do virtual, but at the same time, an in-person portion. And I feel bad because, you know, like me not being able to be on campus, I need to like delegate those tasks to other people in the team that are on campus that are doing basically the job that I would have to do. And sometimes I feel bad, you know, like they do me that favor, but still it's like I feel bad. I wish I could be there.
Mm-hmm. So I have just a random question. What, with your degree, you're pursuing marketing, right? What exactly, like, are you going for, like, hope to get out of that?
Huh, that's a good question. Well, as of right now, I really like, you know, like, the advertising portion, kind of digital marketing, social media marketing. But something that really, you know, like, grabbed my attention from, you know, like, the area of marketing that I would like to, like, be in. And, you know, some people would be like, okay, so you're going to use marketing for that. I would like to get into ministry, because I work at, I'm a social media intern at university ministry. And I basically, you know, like run the account, try to come up with more content for the account that is, you know, resourceful for the students. So ministry is something that, you know, like not a lot of people think of when you're studying, you know, business especially. But it's something that I would like to, you know, to apply the marketing knowledge into ministry, you know, like any archdiocese or other ministry out there. Because I feel like it's an interesting field and that a lot of people, like, you know, think of as a career. So, I mean, that's one of my main options that I would like to do, you know, advertise for ministry or organize, you know, like campaigns, marketing campaigns for ministry.
I think you have a lot of connections at St. Mary's. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
So that's a good way to start. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good job. That's awesome. I don't do numbers.
I mean, you would be surprised. It's not as many numbers as you would think.
Nice. Sometimes we need to do some sort of marketing for our, because it's public history, so we need to know how to reach people, talk to people. So. Yeah. Someday I'll get into it, but that's a pretty good skill to have, communication.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to do email marketing, you know, like, to reach out people.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me. Thank you for taking
time. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. I'll send you a link with everything once everything's kind of curated and up on the website that we're working with. So keep you in the loop. Okay. Thank you again.
Sounds good.
I hope you have a really good day.
You too. Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.